Welcome to one of my favorite Sundays of the year. You know why? I only have people here that really love Jesus. Everybody else went to the beach. So congratulations, you're in the right camp. We're glad you are here today. Hey, got a question for you. When you open your eyes in the morning, what is the first thing that you do? Before anything else, what's your first move? Before coffee, before you brush your teeth, what is it that you do? Well, if you're like the majority of us, you reach for one of these things. 80% of us reach for this within the first 15 minutes of the day. And listen, the younger you are, the sooner you reach. 25% of us reach for it within the first minute. Now, I'm not one of the younger ones, but I am in that group within the first minute. 40% of us will check the phone before we even throw off the covers. Do you know that urge to check your phone notifications is a new thing? It didn't used to be that way. For example, if you were able to somehow time travel, go on a journey way back when, you know, to the dark ages, I'm talking the mid-1990s, before we all had these devices in our pockets. If you could go back then, it was such a different world. Do you remember that world? Do you remember living in a time when your mind was actually forced into distraction-free living? There was nothing to distract you. When you stood in line, do you know what you did? You just stood in line. There was nothing to entertain you, no little device that you're scrolling through. If you were waiting for a friend to show up at a cafe, you know what you did? You just waited. You had no way of knowing, are they coming? Are they not coming? Will they be here or will they not be here? What a frightening world that must have been to live in. We don't do that anymore. These smartphones have changed all of that. They have introduced to us these endless notifications from people that we know and care about and people that we do not necessarily even like. And we invite them to crawl into the covers with us first thing every morning. First thing in the morning, we experience FOMO, fear of missing out. We never really had that before. We can be overwhelmed with the news that comes into our life or social media. Those little red notification indicators dictate to us what comes first. Now, the truth is, I don't suppose it's quite as bad as I'm making out. But isn't there a sense in all of us that maybe we're not making the best choices in that moment? I mean, the truth is, we are more connected than any generation that came before us. But at the same time, it's like we're more disconnected than ever before. And there are all kinds of studies out there calling into question whether or not it really is the best thing to check our phones first thing in the morning. These devices are not only changing the way we live, but they are rewiring our brain pathways. And one of the things that they have done is we have become the most anxious generation that has ever existed. Get this, up until the year 2012, that's just 10 years ago. Up until the year 2012, the term anxiety was rarely used in the sphere of mental health. But since that time, there has been this massive spike, and particularly vulnerable to anxiety are those that were born after 1995. Why after 1995? Well, they are the first generation to grow up without any memory of a time in which the internet was not available in their pocket 24/7. Gene Twenge, a psychology professor, puts it this way: it is not an exaggeration to describe iGen, that's what her term is for those born after 1995, it is not an exaggeration to describe iGen as being on the brink of the worst mental health crisis in decades. The crisis has become so great that there is now a lot out there who are beginning to compare our smartphone addiction to the big tobacco corporations of the 1990s, who intentionally were peddling to the public a product that they knew was deadly. One such person put it like this: let's face it, chasing or checking your likes is like the new smoking. But whereas tobacco only wanted your lungs, the App Store wants your soul. Is the first thing you do in the morning revealing something about your life and how you live, more so than we would want to think that it reveals? Let me suggest that before we reach for the phone, we need to breathe in the presence of God Himself. That's why we're beginning this series today called Simply Breathe. Throughout the scriptures, there are these incredible moments where you and I have the opportunity to see God breathe. And every time God breathes, something amazing happens. The psalmist described it this way: when you give them breath, life is created. Could you use a little bit more life in your day-to-day existence? Maybe more than anything we need is just to breathe. To breathe in deeply the gift of life that comes from God. You were created for breath, and specifically for God's breath in you. And you see it at the very beginning. If you would, open your Bibles with me today to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis is pretty easy to find. It's the first book in the Bible, so you can jump in there. It's foundational for everything that comes. In fact, part of the words that we're going to be reading today, I often say this about them: if you can believe the first four words of the Bible, you shouldn't have any trouble believing everything else that comes in the Bible, because the first four words are these: in the beginning, God. And that lays the foundation for everything else. If you can believe in the beginning, God, then everything that God's Word tells us that God did becomes easy. You need to be in God's Word. It lays the foundation for breathing in life. And listen, if by chance you do not have your own copy of the Bible, you don't have a Bible that is your own, those Bibles that are in the chair rack in front of you, those are for you. We invite you to take one of those, take it home with you, because everybody needs to be in God's Word. It's not by accident that the Bible tells us that God's Word is God breathed. If you want to breathe in the life that God has for you, you need to be regularly breathing in His Word. Now, let me take a quick minute just to introduce myself. If we've not yet met, my name's Kevin Lee. I'm one of the pastors. One of the things we ask everybody to do every week is to fill out a digital connect card. That's how we stay connected to each other. On the bottom of the listening guide that you were handed on your way in, there's a QR code. You can access that digital worship program. And at the very top, there's a link there to the digital connect card. We ask everybody to fill that out so that we can stay stay connected. And speaking of connections, does anybody remember what's happening in 2 weeks? 2 weeks is Easter, that's right. And we're not going to have Easter here, right? It's going to be at the Bruce. So listen, at 9 o'clock and at 10:30, you want to go to the convention center, the Bruce Convention Center, and that's where we're going to have Easter services. If you come here, it's likely the only person you're going to see is me, because every time we do this, I always forget, and I drive here first, and it's like, it's over at the Bruce, and I've got to go over there. So let me invite you to come. Who are you going to be bringing with you to Easter? And also, let me remind you that the Friday before Easter, Good Friday, we're going to have a service here at 12:10, and it will be over by 12:50. It's designed just for that lunch hour. And listen, when you come to worship, when you leave, we're going to send you out with a Chick-fil-A lunch to go. So let me encourage you to bring everybody that you work with to come and to share in that hour of worship together. So bring your whole crew. Now, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to just look at verses 1 and 2, but keep your Bibles open because we're going to skip over into chapter 2 in just a minute. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and watch God breathe. It says this: In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, upon first reading that, you might say, now, wait a minute. I didn't see anything in those two verses about breathing, but it's in there. Here's the cool thing that is both true in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, written in Hebrew, the word for breathe is the same word for breathe, breath, wind, or spirit. And that is the word ruach. You almost have to clear your throat when you say it, so it's a lot of fun. Why don't you say it with me? Ruach. Well, two of you got it right anyway. Y'all need to clear that throat out when you get up in the morning, all right? Ruach. And it means wind, breath, breathe, spirit. So there in verse 2 where it said the spirit, the wind, the breath was hovering over the surface. It's a picture of God's breath in that moment. In the New Testament, in the Greek, the word that is the same translated in all of those is the word pneuma. Pretty easy to see from where we get our word pneumonia, and it means breath, spirit, wind. So here, God breathes at the creation. And this is the point of it all. You need to understand, you were made for breath. Everything that lives was made for breath. And we know it. The idea of not being able to breathe is just terrifying. I remember when our first grandchild, Colton, was born. Our daughter, Allison, she'd had a really long labor. She checked in at Vanderbilt on Saturday. On Sunday, we'd waited all through Saturday. We're checking for notifications. We're wondering, when's it going to happen? That morning, Sunday, I had to preach, and so I preached up here. I think we were in four services at that time, preached through those services. Soon as that last amen, man, it was like I was on a beeline to Nashville. That baby wasn't born until precisely at midnight, Monday morning, midnight, finally born. And as soon as I got the call in the waiting room, he's here, it's a boy. And the next words were, Daddy, pray, he's blue. And I stood outside the door of that waiting room, and I saw that crash cart team come flying down the hallway, turn and go into his room. Watched as they brought him out and went right past me. And I remember that feeling of just holding my breath, hoping that he would catch his breath. Listen, we are all made to breathe. Breath is what we are made for. We all need to breathe. Now listen, it's also kind of interesting that this series was originally planned for another time. Originally, I planned this series to take place in March of 2020. Does anybody remember anything that happened in March of 2020, the first service, they said, no, we've all blocked it out. That pandemic, this terrible respiratory virus that we were warned about, it was going to be so bad. And back then, I decided, you know what? I probably don't need to do a preaching series called Breathe in the middle of a respiratory pandemic. So we put it off. But hasn't it felt kind of like those 2 years since we've all been holding our breath, waiting for it to end? When will it end? Listen, you were made for breath. And here's the first point that I want you to see. But sometimes, number one, life takes your breath. Sometimes life takes your breath. Have you ever had the breath knocked out of you? Whew. Man, it's debilitating. If you can't breathe, I mean, you can't do anything. It happened to me one time when I wrecked my motorcycle. I hit the pavement, hit my head, blacked out just for an instant, but then I was awake, but I couldn't breathe. And when I came to, I'm laying in the middle of the street, and I look up, and there's an ambulance literally right in front of me, the first car that was there in front of me when I wrecked. God takes care of all the details, you know. And I found myself on that street, and I couldn't breathe, but I knew I got to get out of the middle of the road. And so I began crawling, and I couldn't breathe. And I remember getting to the edge of the road and just collapsing. Life sometimes has a way of doing that to you as well. Sometimes it knocks the wind out of you. Maybe it's a physical blow, but oftentimes it's an emotional blow or it's a relational blow that just leaves you jolted. That's the feeling that you need to feel when you read Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. That's kind of the description. There is no breath. Instead, it says that it was formless and empty and darkness over the deep waters. Listen to it. The earth was formless and empty and darkness covered the deep waters. The pre-breath existence is without life. And it describes for us how life is oftentimes swallowed up in chaos, the unknown, and the frightening. In fact, those three phrases, formless and empty, darkness and deep waters, those remind us of some important principles that we need to understand about life itself. Three important reminders, and the first reminder is this, that life is short. Life is short. That word darkness is the first thing that God takes on. In the very next verse, he speaks light into existence. But listen, darkness is often a reminder in the Bible of the brevity of life. Death brings darkness. And the truth about all of us is that we're just here for a little while, and then we vanish. I was looking or writing on Wednesday this message, and as I was writing the message, I had a cup of coffee sitting on my desk, and as I was writing, and I got to this point, and I was thinking about how the Bible describes our life as but a vapor, like a mist, just a puff of steam, and then it's gone. I looked down at my coffee cup, and I just saw this little vapor rise off of it, and then it was gone. And the Bible says, you need to understand, that's what life is like. We're here for just a little while, and then we're gone. The psalmist put it this way, Psalms 90, verse 10, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. I mean, think about how long ago that was written, and yet how accurate it is. Even to this day, even with all of the fitness craze that's a part of our world and the medical advances that have been made over the last decades, it's still remarkably accurate estimate of our longevity, 70, 80 years. But think about what that means for you. It means this. By the time you are 23 to 26, one-third of your life is already over. I mean, it's true. I mean, I like to think of myself as middle-aged. But you know what? I don't know a heck of a lot of 120-year-olds out there. Maybe you got some names for me. Life is short. Do you think you're middle-aged? Double your age. How many people do you know that are twice your age? Aren't you glad you came today? Good news for you. Honestly, if you're a day past 40, you're beyond middle age. Life is short, especially if you don't have the breath of God. But it wasn't just darkness. The second thing we're taught in this is that life is, it is uncertain. That phrase, darkness covered the deep waters, listen, that is such an ominous word here. The depths of the sea were something that created such fear and uncertainty in that world. Think about the Jonah story when he is cast into the deep. There's so much uncertainty there. There was great fear and uncertainty about deep waters. In fact, you can hear it in the words of the prophet Isaiah when he said, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Listen, in life, not only is it short, but it is so uncertain. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We make our plans and we begin to think and dream about what's coming, but we don't have any idea what's actually coming. You know, one of the things I've been watching and checking in Facebook are the memories from 2 years ago. It was like I was posting every day. I guess nothing else to do. I was posting every day during that pandemic. But you know what? None of us saw that coming. We didn't realize what it was going to be like or how long it was going to last. Life is uncertain. And that's the picture of what it was like before God breathed. But not only that, the third thing that is there is that it was that life is hard. Darkness, deep waters, and then there's that phrase, formless and empty. It's trying to describe for us a word picture of chaos. Does your world ever feel that way, formless? An empty, out of control chaos. You can't rein it in. You can't even get your arms wrapped around it. The scripture writer here is describing for us what life is without God. Darkness, disorder, uncertainty. It is hard. And that's the truth of life. Some of you are feeling it more so today than you were even a week ago. That this week life turned hard. Do you find yourself in a tough spot? Is the chaos and the darkness at times overwhelming? Listen, what you need to understand that we're being taught in Genesis 1 is this. All that God has to do is breathe once and it changes everything. Wherever you find yourself today, all God has to do is breathe once and it changes everything. When you find your life trapped in chaos, you need to know that God is ready to make his move. And this is his move. Listen to what it says in verse 2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And then listen, and the Spirit, the breath of God, was hovering above the surface of the waters. What is God's move? God gives breath. God gives breath. And listen, in verse 2, let me encourage you to circle in your Bible that word hovering. I love that word. It's a word picture. It's actually a word picture of two different images to show you this idea of God's breath being present with you. First of all, it's a word picture of a mother bird seated on a nest, hovering, covering, protecting those that she's given life to. But at the very same time, very different word picture, it's a picture of birds of prey like vultures who are circling, ready to make a move. So how does God step into the chaos and the anxiety of life? Well, in a word, what he does is God hovers. And there are three reminders that I want you to hold on to about hovering. The first thing is this: when God breathes, he hovers, and that means that he is near. He is near. He is always near you. God is always just a breath away. But not only is he near to you, understand this, it also means when he's hovering that he is patient and he is present with you. There's a sense in this hovering that it's an ongoing action. He doesn't abandon you. He is there as long as it takes, and he is not missing a single detail in your life. God doesn't get worn out with you when you find yourself in those seasons of chaos. He is near to you. He is patient. He is present. And this last thing, don't miss this, he is not afraid. He is not afraid. The things that give us fear, the things that cause us to fear, they do not rattle God in the least. He makes his move. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this: for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Isaiah put it like this: for I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. That's the perfect picture of God hovering with you in the midst of brokenness and darkness and confusion and chaos. In other words, in this world, you need to understand that chaos does not have free reign. Chaos is not in control. God is. But listen, you need to understand that God doesn't just hover over you. There's something even more personal in this. And that is that his breath, his spirit, this wind, it blows where he wills it to blow. And if you turn over one page to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, listen to this. It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Listen, in Genesis 1, you have this big picture of creation. The whole world is created, and he brings life into being. But in Genesis 2, all of a sudden, it's like you zoom in, and you have this intimate picture of creation where you have one God, one person. But this isn't just Adam's story. This is your story, and God breathes life into you. Years ago, I had a professor describe this text, saying this: this is a picture of a God who is not afraid to get his hands muddy with you. He's right there with you, intimately with you, breathing life into you. God didn't just create this world and everything in it. He created you. He has a plan for you, and he wants you to breathe life in. Let me ask you, have you allowed him to breathe afresh in you? In a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at a passage where it's Easter evening when Jesus is with the disciples, and it says in John that he breathed on them, and when he breathed on them, Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to unpack all of that today, but I want you to think about that word, receive. Receive. In other words, God breathes out life, but you and I have to receive it. We have to breathe it in, the gift of life. And that brings the third point out of this, and that is you need to catch your breath. Have you caught your breath? I love that old saying that says, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. You know, the truth is, you and I cannot live without breath. I mean, literally, even for a moment, we cannot live without breath. Breath is your one non-negotiable in all of life. Did you know that depending upon the factors, you can live without food? 1-2 months, you can live without food. You can live without sleep for something like 11 days. You can get along without it for 11 days. You can even live without water for about 3 days. You can live without water. And you can live without air or breath, but only for about 3 minutes. It's the one non-negotiable for all of us. Now, over the course of your lifetime, depending upon how long you live, you will breathe approximately 1 billion times, or close to that. But think about that. One single breath lost, and the end comes. It makes me wonder, do you think God was trying to teach us something just about how important it is that we breathe in that gift of life that He has for us? Have you ever known somebody who couldn't breathe? I don't know that I've ever seen anything more agonizing than that. Somebody with a physical condition that just makes breathing difficult. I knew a guy like that. We called him the bread man. I mean, that's what he did for a living. He drove a bread truck. And all his life, year after year, decades after decades, he was the guy who delivered the bread to all the little grocery stores and all the mom and pop shops all over the county. And everybody knew the bread man. But then his health failed. He couldn't breathe. And I remember going to visit him at his home. He was confined there. He was on oxygen 24/7. But even with oxygen, with failing lungs, every breath was labored, and it was agonizing. Let me tell you, just like when I would visit him, it was like I was trying to will him the ability and the power to breathe in the air that I breathe so freely. And listen, let me tell you, every time I stand before you and I share with you the life that God gives to us through His Word, and I long for you to catch your breath, to breathe in maybe for the first time the truth of God's Spirit. It's the same kind of agony seeing some of you that are here week after week, but you've not yet taken that step of faith and breathed in that deep breath of life that God has for you. Will you receive Him? Will you accept the life that He gives to you? Listen, once you breathe Him in, everything changes. Years and years ago, I had a man come to my house late at night. His name was Big John, and this was a guy that lived up to his nickname as well. Big John stood about 6'4", and he weighed about 400 pounds. I remember just looking out the window of my front door, these little windows up at the top, and I saw him looking down at me. And I was, you know, up a little bit in the house. And Big John was a guy that had a notorious reputation that was as big and as bad as has been his life. Big John had lived hard, and he lived most of his life without Jesus. But that night, Big John knocked on the door of my house, and as soon as I opened the door, before I could even ask him anything, he said, "I need Jesus, and I was told you're a guy who could tell me about Him." So I invited Big John in, and he sat down in my living room. I can still see the spot. He sat down on the swivel rocker in my living room, and that little old swivel rocker gave up the spirit right then in that moment, just boom. It never swiveled again. But that's when John and I began to talk. And we began to talk about Jesus and who He was and what He could do for you. And before long, I saw Big John take his first breath of real life. And let me tell you, everything changed. He received the Spirit of God. He was baptized that year on Christmas Day. He was so big that I had 2 football coaches in the baptistry with me in order to dunk him. And let me tell you, all 3 of us ended up just as wet as did Big John when we dunked him. But from that day on, John was a new man. the darkness that had reigned in his life, the chaos that had been so much a part of his existence, the fear that had been a part of his life, all of that was overturned by just a breath of the Spirit of God, of Jesus Christ changing his life. And years later, I got a call where I was invited to come back and preach Big John's funeral. And his son said to me, "There's only one request that we have. More than anything, my dad wanted you to tell his friends about Jesus." You see, Big John wanted all of his friends and all of his family to catch their first breath. He wanted them to breathe in life. He wanted them to experience, like he did, that moment when he opened his eyes for the first time and took his first breath and breathed in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want for you. If you've not yet received him as your Lord and Savior, do not let another day go. Have you taken that first breath? You can do it today, right now. Better than reaching for your phone is reaching for Jesus. Job put it this way, "For the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Can you testify that for yourself? Have you experienced the gift of life? Listen, in just a moment, we're going to have a song of response. And as we sing, let me encourage you, if you've not yet taken that step, to step out from where you are, come down to the front. I'll be over here in the corner. Would love to talk with you. You talk with me or one of the other pastors. We'd love to talk with you through what it means to follow Jesus. But listen, you need to know, that's just your first breath. After that, you need to keep on breathing every day, every moment. And more important than reaching for your phone first thing in the morning, you need to be reaching for the Word of God, because this is God breathed, and you need to breathe it in. Breathe Him in every day. Would you stand with me as we pray? God in heaven, we thank you that into this world of darkness and brokenness and chaos, you breathed. And you breathed in life. You gave life to us. And Father, I want to pray today, right now, for anyone that's in this room that has not yet accepted Jesus Christ, that has not yet breathed in your Spirit, that today would be the day. No more delays, no more putting it off. Father, may they breathe in the gift of life and be made new. And Father, may each of us give thought to the gift that you've given to us, to make the most of each day. Father, you're the one who's given us our breath. We give you our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.